Welcome back to Overdunk, everybody. This is episode 85 of the Overdunk podcast, and it's a very exciting one. Of course, we have Zoinks and Doofsnacks here from Unite Mics, but we have not just a special guest this time around. We have a long-term, looking forward, brand spanking new co-host, Bridget. Welcome to the show. We are so excited to have you. Bridget, how are you doing tonight?
Wow, what an intro. I'm doing really good. I'm excited. Excited to be here.
You said good. I feel like I gotta get better at my intros. I gotta do some like WWE shenanigans, like best Hoopa in the podcast, clearly. You know, from Wasted Potential fame back in the day. We'll get the anecdotes rolling forward. But everybody, if you don't know who Bridget is, don't worry, you will get to know her very soon. But let's do a quick round of introductions. Otherwise, I'm of course Zoinks, the normal host that has been on this show for quite some time, and of course, Doofsnacks, my co-caster, partner in crime here on Unite Mics. Doofsnacks, how you doing?
We're doing good, baby. First, second of the year. Already got dumpsters as hard as I'm going to all year long by old Bridge joining the podcast. So it's only up for here for me.
That's true.
Only up from here for me. There you go.
Yeah,
podcast. It's gonna be a long year. Don't worry.
Can't wait, baby.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, podcast listeners who are deep in the Overdunk lore know that Doofsnacks has a bitter rivalry, and I thought, what better twist to bring to 2024 than bringing said rival onto the show? Honestly, I think it's calculated and the best script I could have put forward. So thank you so much, the two of you, for being here. We're going to be talking about a decent amount of Unite stuff tonight. Of course, we have all of the news that happened over the New Year's Christmas break. A new Pokemon is in the game. We got Metagross added now. There is cool competitive news when it comes to some of the Eastern Leagues, the Asia Champions League, that I'm really excited to talk about. And then, of course, we have some cool news on the actual just mainline Pokemon front. So some cool stuff to talk about tonight. We'll get to all of that. But first, Bridget, we got to get just the general intros out of the way for you. Bridget, where do you come from? You know, like, how did you find Unite? When did you start playing Unite? All that good stuff. Yeah, drop the facts, Bridget.
Okay. I started playing actually in the Chinese beta. I made an account. Okay. I was super excited. Yeah, I was playing Talonflame. We don't have to talk about that. But I was really excited for it. I've never played a MOBA before, but I had a lot of friends who really loved League, and I thought it was a style of game I could really get into. So played it a lot with some friends, but like most people, my friends kind of stopped playing the game eventually. Right. But I still had a lot of interest in it, and that's when I kind of turned to the Twitch community and just made a lot of friends that way. And
cool.
Ended up playing in UCS a little bit last year. We won all of our games. Don't check.
Absolutely. Don't look at it. Look, Mayhem games included. Frequent, yeah. Mayhem enjoyer, Bridget, and Wasted Potential.
We loved them.
good.
So fun. Getting well, dumpstered, but
it's okay.
Yeah. I just really love the game. I love playing support. I stream a little bit. Just, I'm a really big fan of the esport, especially, so an avid Overdunk listener.
Okay. The most important fact that you said so far, for sure. Doofsnacks, any more info you want to hear from Bridget? Any specific questions for our new co-host?
Why did you move away 3 days after we found out we lived within, like, 7 minutes of each other?
I can't believe it.
And I asked you to hang out.
It's time to answer. You gotta answer.
To be fair, I was home. I was in our zip code for like 3 weeks, and I mentioned it to you. I mentioned it subtly, and I got nothing. So I took that as a rejection.
Okay. I don't know if you can mention anything subtly to Doofsnacks. I feel like that was maybe on Bridget a little bit more than
I am. Pretty oblivious and stupid to most things. So,
okay, noted.
I understand that this is your first time, your first episode as now a consistent host of Overdunk, but you will learn very quickly that you just have to tell me things. Zoinks learned the hard way many
gotcha.
Times. And yeah, sometimes he still just kind of slides stuff in. He's like, didn't you, like, see that? And I'm like, No. Fine. No, of course I didn't.
Like, you responded.
I'm a lifelong learner. It's fine. which actually, though, is a good point. You, obviously, this is your first episode as, like, an official co-host, Bridget, but you have been on the show before, right? When we, back when we interviewed Waste of Potential, were you ever a guest on any of our, like, UCS prediction shows or anything like that?
No, I did not catch any of those invites.
Okay, well, immediate blaming.
You were on the Kids on Bikes episode, which was sick.
That is true. Okay, yeah. Again, we're bringing up the deep lore a lot tonight, which I love. But yes, when we on the Unite Mics channel really went off the beaten path and did a Halloween tabletop role-playing game one-shot podcast.
It was so sick.
It was so fun. I loved it.
It's a must listen to.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you go, I think it's only on YouTube, but if you are subscribed to our channel, which you should be, obvi, please go watch that episode. It was so much fun, and tell us you want another one, and that's how you get more. So that's the secret to success, if that's what you want. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for that great intro, Bridget. I'm really, really excited to have you on the show. Obviously, you have a competitive background, you have a content creation background, and you spent a whole lot of time in this game. So I can't really think of a better line of criteria that we can have for a host of the Overdunk podcast. So this is gonna be a really fun year. I'm excited for 2024, especially when it comes to Unite. We've had an interesting start to the year. I guess it happened right before. Metagross has been added to the game. It's almost on free release, right? Like, at some point this upcoming week, I have to imagine it'll be switched over to coins, and will be available to play in the game. Metagross, whatever you want to call it, this Pokemon, I think Chris tweeted out it has currently a 42% win rate in ranked. Pretty low, but thus again has sparked the debates of, is it a skill issue? Do players just not know how to play the large metal gentleman? Or is it a bit of a balancing issue, kind of a lackluster release? A lot of people have been sharing off their opinions, so why not us? Dupesnex, any opinions on the state of Metagross at release?
I'm not really frazzled by it. I know it's a popular Pokemon, just as a whole to Pokemon fans. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure some of those fans would have liked to see it be a bit stronger. However, that being said, I much rather turn the volume up slowly than have to hit the mute button immediately. So I think I'm still in recoil from the Mewtwo era, the Mewtwo winter. So I don't mind these a little bit more tepid releases and then having them gassed up a little bit than trying to hit the perfect pitch on its release, realizing it's far too strong and having to dial it back, because it feels a lot worse playing when something is way too strong than when something you were hoping would be a little bit better is too weak. So that's just kind of my two cents.
Okay.
And great. I don't really, like, as a player, I'm like Bridget, I play support and I pivot to defender sometimes. So, like, that wasn't a big release for me in terms of interest. So it's easy for me to say that in that sense.
Okay. Let me ask you this before we jump over to Bridget. Would you consider Meowscarada, who got, like, that pretty quick patch after its release, to be an example of a good way to do their release? Like, at release, it was solid, it was fine, people took a little bit to learn it, they patched it, but it still feels like it hasn't been overwhelming. I don't know, you play support, Meowscarada, you're their number one target when you're up there on rank ladder. Do you find Meowscarada an issue, a problem, or is that kind of pacing okay?
First off, shout out to Spraggles on the 15-month sub streak, it's pretty dope. Secondly, I'd much rather see what the pattern continue with what they did with Meowscarada than some of the other things we've seen that have just come out far too strong, and then we're all just having to live in its world while it gets figured out. Yeah. So I'll say I was fairly, again, Meowscarada is not the type of character that I play, so I didn't really get in the weeds on it, right? Played a couple games with it just to understand how its movesets worked from a caster point of view, but I haven't logged, you know, dozens and dozens of game with it to speak to its technical abilities and skill that go into it. But I just, as a support player and from an outsider looking in, think Meowscarada is a good pacing for how this should be done, at least for the near future, until they get this EX thing sorted out and all these other releases that they have upcoming, especially with like Gyarados. on the horizon.
Yeah, that's an exciting one we'll have to talk about too. But Bridget, how about you? How are you feeling about Metagross generally on release? Balance-wise, gameplay-wise, any thoughts around this new Pokemon?
Yeah, I think I pretty much am in agreeance with Dupesnax. Mm-hmm. I haven't been playing a ton the past couple weeks. I've had a crazy couple weeks, but I was playing a bit last night, and I kept thinking it was a defender. Like, I actually forgot it was an all-rounder when I was playing against it. I think that says a lot about its damage output in general. It just doesn't seem to be doing, like, all-rounder numbers, but maybe I'm, like, disillusioned from the past all-rounders I've had to face. So yeah. I think it could definitely use something. I'm not sure whether it's CDR or damage, but...
Cooldown feels to be the most popular response that people have been like desperately wanting. It sucks when you just can only press your buttons once per fight. I think it's a pretty bad design space for Unite in general, with how quick our game is and how many fights you have to actually enter and play into. So I do think that's kind of a problem for Metagross. I get it. It's supposed to be like a late game scaling kind of monster. It's how that Pokemon kind of reflects in design and style choice as well, which is something that Unite seems to be, I've always said, pretty good at in terms of capturing like what that feeling of a Pokemon kind of should be. I think it's actually been one of Unite's like bright spots in terms of design. I think they've done a really excellent job. With Metagross, though, it feels really strange because they kind of came at it with the idea, in my opinion, from like a design space, is this is the all-rounder that is supposed to be going like 1v2, 1v3. Like, you want to be in as many fights as you possibly can with multiple targets. That's why you get like Magnet Rise or as a Zen Headbutt that's got a really long range with that tackle style move. You're supposed to be getting up in there. It just sucks that once you get there, you can't really do much. So I don't know. It feels like we had a great start to a design of a Pokemon just fell a little bit flat. Now, that can be changed with some balance changes and stuff. I don't know. It's one of the more concerning releases to me, though, in terms of releases. I just, like, it feels like I saw the vision. It only got halfway there. And I do think the biggest step is, like, this Unite move needs a lot. Like almost rework level changes, in my opinion, on Metagross. I don't know. It feels really lackluster. If they buff the numbers enough, it'll be played, and it'll see competitive viability, I'm sure, in some way. However, I think if this Pokemon really wants to be viable, like, into the top level of people's tier lists and considerations, it's Unite move that needs changing. I really hope it changes like that, but,
If I could sound off one more, you know what it feels like to me? It feels like they're trying to build was Jungle Blastoise when that was a thing, when that was a competitive thing. Yeah. Jungle Blastoise, right? Where it's like, yes, Blastoise can be a defender, it's tankier, but like if you commit the resources to it throughout the course of the game, at the end, it can hit 110, 120k damage because it's rapid spinning in the face of, you know, three players like you were mentioning, right? And it's taken those 1v3s and can actually sustain and have a little bit of unstoppability in its actions. And then it feels like they're like, okay, we liked that, but just not on the way that Blastoise operates. So now that we've switched up Blastoise a little bit, we want to fill that void with something. From that conceptual aspect, Metagross fits great, I think. I think we all agree, like you said, from a design flavor standpoint, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And like you said, it just hasn't had those numbers tweaked to that. And of course, Hydro Typhoon is one of the best Unites in the game, functionality-wise. So like, if you're going to be doing that with Metagross and you put it, you know, if it traps three players in the Colosseum, it needs to be curtains for it to feel awesome. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I'm right there with you. I like that it didn't release to those egregious numbers, but, you know, it's time to turn the volume up now, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, let's see some changes.
So, that's all I got. That's all I got on Metagross.
That's fair. Bridget, any more final words for Metagross? Sounds like we're putting Metagross down, but any other words on Metagross before we move on?
No, I honestly haven't had too much experience with it. Like, it's Unite move. It was done to me, but I had no idea what was happening, if I'm being honest.
Okay,
so.
Fair enough. Yeah. I like it. I think that it there could be a way to crack the code on this Pokemon. Like we talked about, it's like design of wanting to fight multiple targets at once, where it reduces the hindrances. Like, if you have a Pokemon that could bring multiple targets to one location with various effects, that would be really cool. Comeface Sweet Kiss buff? We'll see. but I think this could be it could be a fun Pokemon down the line, at least in theory. So I'm excited to see a future Metagross one day. I think it'll be really cool. But speaking of Pokemon releases, Doopsnax, you already teased it a little bit, but the official Unite Twitter did as well. In maybe my favorite tease that they have done so far, I'll pull it up on screen, but did they tweet this on New Year's Eve? Was that when they tweeted out the Magikarp tease? Yes, they tweeted it out on New Year's Eve, which I think is hilarious. So let me pull this up. Pokemon Unite tweeting out just a picture of Magikarp, and Magikarp is scheduled to join the fray in Pokemon Unite. Stay tuned for more info soon. I adore this tease. How we feeling about Gyarados coming to the game, even though we knew it was coming? But how do we feel about Gyarados officially announced to be coming to the game?
I'm pretty hyped. Again, don't play all-rounders, so...
Oh, but you're not going to make an exception for Gyarados?
Maybe when it's coins.
Okay.
But
okay.
I just think the way it evolves is really, really interesting, and I like that they're doing unique stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. It'll be
fun.
That's a really good point. So for anyone who doesn't know, it's been data mined, and now I believe it's also a public test server, like official. People have been trying out the Pokemon in that area and realizing that, yes, Magikarp does evolve into Gyarados eventually, but unlike other Pokemon, it is not level capped. Instead, you have to fill what is called an effort gauge, which I believe can be filled by doing damage, taking damage, like scoring, doing damage to wild Pokemon, basically just existing. Magikarp has to exist and do stuff to evolve, which I just think is so funny. A tragic start for a big payoff. I think that'll be really cool. I think the question is going to be, is Gyarados enough of a payoff to make that worth it? But that's a fun little like scale to play within in a game of Unite. But Doopsnax, how are you feeling about Gyarados as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, Gyarados is not going to be a miss just in terms of the fandom that both Magikarp as a Pokemon and Gyarados as a Pokemon have. I think naturally a bunch of people are going to jump back into the game, which is huge. Those are the type of releases you want, you know. As much as I can joke about how much I want Pelipper in the game, Pelipper is not a big draw to people that aren't invested in the game on a daily basis to come back and pick it up. Gyarados, on the other hand, absolutely is.
Right.
So from that aspect, I think it's phenomenal. I'm with Bridget again. I don't play a lot of all-rounders. I will be playing it just because it seems sweet. It's a different aspect. It's a different look. And I think that is worth spending some time, and obviously as a caster, to understand. Ultimately, a big W. This is one that if you're going to miss high on, I think Gyarados is probably a decent one to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Metagross is necessarily at that fandom level, but I think Gyarados certainly is. So I think you get a little bit more wiggle room on going over the top with Gyarados than you would have, you know, Meowscarada or even Gyarados versus Metagross and like Meowscarada.
Yeah.
So if I were to see one kind of miss high, I'd like it to be Gyarados.
Okay, fair enough. Well, just a reminder, everybody, so far Unite has not officially said Gyarados is joining the fray, just Magikarp. So
sure,
maybe we'll get Gyarados at a later date. Maybe it'll be double the gems. No, I'm just joking. Please don't. Magikarp.
Don't put that out.
My bad. Yeah, we just lost every podcast follower we had. But no, Magikarp and Gyarados will be coming very, very soon. I think sometime in January, which is really, really cool. But I believe we've kind of ended the well of like leaked Pokemon outside of the fact that there's like a Maridon Coridon event happening eventually in every Pokemon title eventually. So we'll have to see what comes up. But yeah, chat, let me know. Thank you, that guy, saying that January 25th is Gyarados' release. So we got about a month to wait, but hopefully it'll be worth the wait. So there's a Magikarp into Gyarados joke in there somewhere. But I am pretty psyched for this release. But yeah, those are Pokemon that have been added to the game and Pokemon that are coming out of the game. So let's talk a little bit about some tournaments coming up. Now, we talked a lot about, well, actually, we haven't talked much about. We talk about ACL sometimes on this podcast, but we haven't talked a whole lot about the qualifying tournaments and everything like that. Just a quick update for anybody who is podcast listening or watching live. ACL has now finished their preliminary qualifier events. And by that, I mean the individual regions have now completed their qualifier rounds. I believe over this next week or weekend and I think 2 weekends from now, they will be going into their second round of qualifiers. And that is where East Asia will be paired together, which I believe is Japan, Korea, and one more country is involved in that. West Asia and India will each have their own individual event where multiple regions will play online against each other, all with the effect of qualifying for the in-person LAN tournament in, I believe it's Thailand, I think it's February. So pretty cool if you're wanting to update on that. However, a big piece of news has come out with this recently. I think it was leaked a little bit before, and then this post on Facebook started going around here on Twitter with a specific from the United Count saying, Pokemon Unite Asia Champions League 2024 final specific rule. I believe the finals refers to the entire in-person LAN event, not just the grand finals or anything like that. All games in the finals will adopt the final specific rule. The final specific rule is a rule that a team cannot select the same Pokemon more than once in a single match. So, if game one you choose Pikachu, you cannot choose that Pokemon in game number two. If anyone is familiar with this format, it is a format that has seen a lot of play in a lot of mobile MOBAs, and it's even crept its way into League of Legends as well, called Fearless Draft, is where you see some of this. And Spraggles and Jeff Hoogland used to run an event back in the day, I think in between seasons 1 and 2 of UCS, with a very similar format called the Showdown format. That one was in Blind Pick, though. This will still be using normal draft rules. I've talked a lot, but I got a lot of thoughts on this, so I want to throw it over to one of the two of you. Bridget, how are you feeling about getting to witness Fearless Draft, or the way they're calling it, the final specific rule style of draft in Unite?
It's such a catchy name. It really is so good. I have mixed feelings. I'm excited because I like unique team comps, and I like teams having to kind of flex outside their norm, but and we do have a good roster because it's only like each team, so if one team picked Pikachu, the other team could pick Pikachu in theory, right?
Between game one and two. Eliminations are only affecting your team in terms of what Pokemon cannot be selected.
It's interesting to me that they're almost like pushing towards this more and more, especially with draft coming into ranked ladder and now implementing this in ACL. I think it's kind of, I'm not sure indicative of what, but just that they're, I don't know, maybe wanting to try new things, wanting to make sure players have like a wide net that they can cast. It's going to be so, I'm not envious of these teams having to draft, because it's going to be so hard not only trying to counterpick, get your team comp, also like remember what you picked before and what you can and can't use going forward, and like there's not a lot of time in the draft screen, so I'm not jealous of that.
I see some restarts on drafts, some game losses potentially. that is all possible.
It's a lot. It's definitely putting a lot on the players, so I'm really excited to see what happens, but I'm not sure how it will go.
I mean, in theory, perfect world, they could have a in-game implementation of it, right? Like where the ban already, like what is the opposite of highlight? Like dims the Pokemon light selection. I don't know why I can't think of a word. Low light. Yeah, there we go. But you could low light all 5 Pokemon you played with last round. But we are asking a lot of the tournament mode. We are asking for it to remember past games history, have a whole nother implementation. This all could happen. I just I don't know. I haven't seen any word of this being implemented into the game, whether on the public test server or anything like that. And if this is going to be happening very soon, like within a couple of months, I'd be pretty shocked. We'll have to see. Also, quick shout out from chat, people saying that India has already finished their second round of qualifiers. So the India part of that trifecta I was talking about, they have qualified their players who are going to be at LAN, which is really cool. I'll try to look that up and what teams are actually qualified to go, which will be sweet. Maybe DupesX already knows. I know you watch a decent amount of competitive India Unite, but
I'm actually, it was announced in their Discord. I'm trying to pull it up.
Okay, cool. But yeah, okay, very, very interesting. I like that, Bridget. Dupesnax, any thoughts on the final specific rule on Fearless Draft?
Yeah. So I'm going to echo Bridget's sentiment here. From a viewer perspective that doesn't have to deal with any of the background calamity that's going to go and the stressors that this puts on the team specifically, from a viewer perspective and a caster's perspective, it is a ton of fun. It is a lot of fun because we talk about this a lot, or at least I do. The further you go into the well and you can capture a Pokemon that somebody at home loves and plays that isn't now naturally played through the competitive scene now, this might force teams into that. And I love watching the Pokemon that I play be played on screen at the highest level. And I know that goes for the same that as like, you know, there's a gold badge Azumarill player out there that just ain't getting the love when it comes to, but now they might. So from like that perspective, I love it. But on the other side of the coin, I think the roster could be a little deeper. I think that helps a little bit because then you get into the big counter pick because the kind of shelf of Pokemon quality drops pretty quickly. So you can actually start pseudo outdrafting your opponent because you already know what they've selected and the natural track to what would be best based on what they've picked versus what you've picked.
Right.
So that's kind of interesting. And then lastly, like Bridget said, there's not enough time in that draft mode. Like even just in a normal draft, it is chaos.
Yeah.
And everybody knows the first time I played in a tournament and I was in that draft mode, I duffed it up every single game. It is kind of unusable garbage. Yeah. So
especially if you're playing on Switch. Especially
correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Which is of course what I was playing on. So right. I am not excited about that aspect. So I truly think this is the epitome of a double-edged sword.
Okay. Yeah. I know on this show, when it comes to draft rules and everything, historically I've been kind of a stick in the mud. I haven't super enjoyed this kind of concept when it comes to Fearless Draft, because you got to think about the intent of why you would have a rule like this. And there, the two big ones that come to mind are appealing to fans that just want to see a myriad of Pokemon played. If you tune in to competitive Pokemon Unite, you turn into a tournament broadcast, if your goal is to see as many Pokemon as possible and you want variety as the top of your priority list, this is an incredible rule. If the other one, which I don't think this is being utilized for, but for example, League of Legends has added this to the North American Academy League this season. For an Academy League, where its whole purpose is to display individual talent, specifically champ pools, or in this case it would be Pokemon pool, and just showing like kind of individual skill and ability, that is an incredible tool to do so. And basically a league that is entirely built to showcase players and give them the best chance to show how talented that individual is. Now, that is what I am concerned about, is that this rule leads a little bit too much on the individual talent of your players in your roster, and it removes that coordinated team play element, or at least not all of it, but just some of it away from what we could see. That's my biggest concern. Secondary concern, of course, is we just don't have enough healers in this game to realistically make this work. You see a lot of double defender comps. In game three, if your opponent has picked two healers at some point, you just use your ban on a healer and you first pick one. And what are they going to play? Like Sableye comp or something? Like, I guess. But I mean, it just gets so ridiculously strong. I'm not a huge fan of it. However, I've been wrong before. I mean, I really do enjoy draft in this game where it is now, where there was a conscientious effort to get more supports into the game when the new draft was coming. We saw that push. So I personally am cautious about seeing this tournament a bit, but I am very excited that at the highest level, Asian Champions League, I would consider to be like an S tier level event for us, or at least like A tier level event. I'm very excited that tournament organizers at this level are willing to experiment with the competitive format. I don't know why they are, but I mean, it's cool that they are, and it's great that we get a chance to see what this could be. If it's amazing, great, we can implement it. If it's not, we peel back, right? So I'm not super against ACL doing this. My initial reaction is, I don't exactly love this competitive format. But I am still excited to watch ACL do it and see what could happen. So, yeah.
I would have much rather seen double ban over this. I think that's a sentiment that echoes obviously through this podcast, but everybody at home, everybody that's tuned in the competitive league, you know, it's exciting that they're trying stuff new, like you said, but it's like, it's you know, it almost, just to pull a sports analogy here, it feels like we have Marshawn Lynch in the backfield and we just need 1 yard to run a touchdown, and that touchdown is double draft here, and we can just hand it off to Marshawn Lynch, but we're stepping back and going for a pass for some reason. Like, we're trying to get too clever with what we're doing. Like, technically it can work, but, like, the low-hanging fruit is right there for you and is the next logical step forward. So, again, it's for me, it's a huge double-edged sword. I think there's going to be – I think it's a viewer win. But, you know, the ripple effect through the competitive side and to these competitive players is – it cannot be quantified, right? Because we're not in those lobbies right now, but we understand already how stressful that's going to be, how just the system constraints are that are limiting, even if you're on point with what you want to do, just the natural usage of the software, it sometimes just can't keep up. So
yeah, that is real.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just kind of shocked they're doing something like this, because I never looked at top level competitive Unite in the last season, in season one for sure, but at last season, in season two, I thought that variety was the issue. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's a lot of teams that have very strong individual styles. I mean, Worlds is the perfect example of this, but that feels like a little bit of an exception to the rule, because you have so many different regional styles playing against each other. But even if we look at NA or EU Unite, I feel like there's a good amount of variety to appease both casual and top level competitive fans. But I mean, clearly somebody doesn't think so, and maybe this is the push we need to get a lot more casual fans interested in competitive. And if that's the case, great. That's a positive. I'm never going to fight that current. that is always going to be a positive thing. So, let's just end this subject with, let's take a look at it. I'm excited to see. Next thing I wanted to talk about, though, in terms of positive things, is Unite has technically finally made it to the official Pokemon channel. Let's go. Maybe not live. Maybe it's from April of last year. Not April. May or June of last year. But we're there tomorrow as of recording, Wednesday at 2 p.m. the official Twitch channel. The Pokemon Unite NAIC 2023 Finals will be broadcasted. Bridget, Deucenex, and I, we're all there and in person, and it was an awesome event. So if you're watching this live, you want to go check that out. The official Pokemon Twitch channel. Go check it out. Go support some more cool competitive Unite stuff. It was awesome. I'm really excited Pokemon's doing this, but any thoughts on Pokemon, the official Twitch channel, starting to showcase a bit more Unite? Deucenex?
Yeah, this is huge. I genuinely feel that Pokemon as a collective is starting to understand the actual reach that Unite viewership has. I think it surprised them. It certainly surprised me. I believe I've always had the faith in it to kind of exceed and surpass the other Pokemon counterparts. But we as in the Pokemon Unite competitive collective, have eviscerated, you know, in the case of Pokemon VGC, we've eviscerated a 25-year lead of when the games were released. And, you know, we're already knocking on their doorstep in certain metrics. And that's incredibly important. So something I actually screenshotted for myself is kind of like a motivator to keep working, and that, like, we're really onto something. This is a screen grab I took from November. I've got it pulled up here. November 9th is when I generated this screen grab. And what it is, it's the day two numbers.
You're sending it in the Discord.
No, okay. but real quick, where's the chat? But why am I awful at?
I'm sorry, recording? I threw that at you. I got to make sure it's not subtle.
There, you can pull it up. Yeah, well, I'll pass to Bridget, and then Bridget throw it back to me. Okay, never mind, it's up. Never mind. Back on me.
Back to these facts.
So, real quick, nice, this is all of the day twos, and the reason this is important to use day twos and not World's Finals Day, it's because World's Finals Day, these three games are collected onto the main broadcast channel, and the stream times would no longer be the same for each game. Right? That's why this is important. But if you look at the metrics here, or you're having trouble reading that because it's kind of small, TCG Day 2, 206,000 views on YouTube. VG Day 2, 392,000. Go Day 2, 65,000. Pokemon Unite, 719,000. Like, we shatter VG by almost double. Like, that is nothing to scoff at. Of course, this isn't the full story. There's different textures that go into this, you know, Twitch viewership, you know, YouTube viewership for the Eastern regions for us is much higher than the other games. So there's a lot of nuance to this, and this is not by any means the end all be all, but it does show that we are able to match the viewership of these other games, that our game is worth watching. And I think that Pokemon is realizing this because they are using some of this incredibly important space and time on their Twitch channel to rebroadcast some of this stuff, because they know it's important to get people geared up for when UCS Season 3 kicks off. So I think it's amazing. I think we're definitely trending in the right direction. I think the people of Pokemon are seeing the value in Unite, and I don't think it's going to be going anywhere anytime soon, because the competitive arm of Unite is a good advertising tool for them specifically. So I think we're in a good spot. Of course, everything isn't perfect, but you know, we're certainly trending upwards, in my opinion. That being said, I think it's phenomenal that we're finally on the main broadcast. Bang. That's what I'll say.
Agreed. Agreed. Bridget, thoughts, vibes towards us being on the official Twitch channel?
Definitely big agree with Dupesnacks. I feel like Pokemon is kind of like bringing us into the fold more and getting us in line with kind of these main staples they've had for decades at this point, with the aside from Go, but I feel like they love Go. I don't know why. I mean, it's a cash cow, but they love it. I definitely always have the fear, like, will we go the ways of Pokken? Will they just kind of stop, you know, caring, essentially? But I think obviously how Unite is set up is more sustainable than Pokken. It's not reliant on just like one standalone game. We get new content pretty often. So yeah, it's cool seeing the metrics that Dupesnacks pulled up, because yeah, those are crazy numbers, honestly. And I feel like even with getting included at all the ICs last year and this year, they seem to have been doubling down on those, except removing OC IC, but that's a different issue. That's not our fault.
Yeah,
but
exactly. Our hands are clean of that one.
Yeah, I do feel like they are liking the direction. At least the fans are liking the direction it's going, and Pokemon seeing that, and it's cool that we're getting more and more, this included.
Number projections are really cool. So that's like the YouTube total views on those videos, of course, but we did get some metrics out of all the mobile game world championships, and I think our highest peak viewer count was like almost, I think it was it almost 70K? No, it's 59,000. Yeah, so almost at 60,000 concurrent viewers that are like highest peak, which is so cool to see for the game of Unite, which obviously we're not hitting those every single tournament, like far off that number, but to see the peak be that high is really, really sick for a game that's community is as small as Unite is at the moment. But I talked a little bit about this with Relic on Twitter on this post specifically, when Pokemon tweeted out that they're going to be covering Unite on this. It's a really big move. And one of the biggest reasons is, and you ask any content creator this, especially Unite content creators who try to go into like mainstream Pokemon content, or even big, big mainstream Pokemon content creators who try to make Unite content. Those two fan bases do not watch each other's stuff. Like, Unite people do not watch a lot of Pokemon-related content or VGC-related content, and the opposite is also true. Most Pokemon fans do not watch Unite content. So there is this pretty big gulf, like, not just at how, like, maybe the games and companies kind of treat each other, but just in terms of viewership and things like that, there's not much crossover, which it feels like an easy bridge to cross, especially because I was one of those people that did that from Pokemon to Unite. Bridget, I know you said this was your first MOBA, so it's similar with you. Dupesnacks, you come from other Pokemon titles as well, so we're all kind of that success story, but I don't think there is a lot of us in terms of what Pokemon has been trying to accomplish by putting their IP in this game. It's not as straightforward as Go when you're just playing nostalgia of catching Pokemon, right? It is a very big genre jump. So I think that having this on the official broadcast is a great first step to try to create a few more of those people who are interested enough in Pokemon to try a brand new game. And being on the main Twitch channel is a fantastic fantastic step in that direction. Also, we're bookended by Picnic and Rabbits, which I think is hilarious. So those are the two anime episodes that are on either side. Really surrounded in the best company.
to your point, though, you know, what's great about Unite specifically is they, like you said, there is a gulf between them, but the jet stream is certainly from the bigger community to the smaller one and not us losing our community to the bigger one,
right?
Which is awesome, mm-hmm. right? Because if you're coming from one, even if you just have a limited knowledge, not of the game, but of Pokemon specifically, that's what's cool about Pokemon Unite is the Pokemon you see on the screen operates the way that you'd think it would.
Right.
Like, for example, you don't have to know any of the damage numbers on Metagross to see it move in game and go, yes, that's exactly how Metagross mm-hmm. moves, which is awesome. I think something that tells a positive sign is the volume of other game casters that are casting Pokemon Unite based on sheer interest, excitement for the game. It is a fun game to cast.
Yeah.
And they can bring that Pokemon knowledge with them. And by proxy, the people that they've, the fans that they've cultivated across all three of those other games to us very easily, which of course is another great benefit. So it might be a slow trickle of water from one to the other, but it is going in our direction, which is huge. And yeah, this great. Time investment only makes that flow of water increase, which of course is great.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I like that a lot, Dupe Snacks. And in terms of other casters from other games coming over to Unite, you're welcome, first off. But I am really, really excited to see that excitement and energy that so many other content creators are having towards the game. So much so, I don't know if any of you, or if either of you two are familiar with AlphaRad at all, like incredibly large content creator on YouTube. Bridget, do you watch their content at all?
Not often, but I definitely know who AlphaRad is.
Or like Jaden Animations stuff. Is another one. Yeah. It's huge, right? They all just started a new collab YouTube group. That is not the term. I need to learn, you know, YouTube names. But they started a brand new channel with a few people. Jaden, AlphaRad, and a few others called Wildcard. And one of the most recent episodes is they play Unite together, which I thought was so sick. It was in the height of Mewtwo era, so Mewtwo was a problem, but it was still really cool to see everyone just enjoying the Pokemon that they wanted to play. Like, Jin Animations had never played Unite before, but knew they liked Blaziken, and just grabbed Blaziken and ran around and did Blaziken things. And then they all lost their mind when Lapras, like, went around with its Unite and picked up Pokemon and brought them to the other areas. Like, so there is a varying level of interest in that genre, varying level of skill in a game like that, but just the fact that, you know, people are picking up on it is really, really sick. So no free shout-outs, but I guess free shout-out to Wildcard for making a cool Unite video.
They need our viewers. They need our
viewers. Everybody, if you're in here right now, make sure to swing over to Wildcard and drop them a follow on their channel. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so really, really cool, I think, for 2024 and going into the future. Unite seems to be in a really good spot. I personally think we're in one of the best balanced states we've been in well over a year. It feels awesome. The game was fun to play. I don't know if everyone has that same consensus. I genuinely feel like every time I pick it up, I have quite a bit of fun playing it. So personally, that's good. But speaking of which, into the year, I wanted to ask you two, before, as we're kind of getting near the end of the episode, our final segment is, do we have any Unite-specific resolutions? Do you want to stop running it down to Tier 2 and back-capping at Ray in the new year? Do you want
Don't project your goals onto us.
Okay, do you want to stop insta-locking Sableye no matter what, even though it's F-tier in every single tier list that any content creator has ever made? You know, random things that could apply to anybody. Is there any specific Unite resolutions? I gotta ask, I might have a couple in mind, but I do want to know, Bridget, do you have any Pokemon Unite specific resolutions? And they don't have to be just in game, they just have to be somehow tangentially related to Unite. If it's play the game less, that's fair. I'm curious.
I pretty much took a break like almost all of December. I was visiting family. Mm-hmm. I don't like playing on handheld. I moved. It's been a journey. So I actually want to play Unite more. I'm still an ultra. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, yeah.
I made Dawn for one last night, guys. Don't worry. climbing. One of my goals is to get a badge on all the supports, but yeah, having trouble wanting to lock in the Sableye. I need to go to the School of Doom Snacks.
Yeah.
and get good. I want to get a badge on all the supports, and I'd honestly love to learn a speedster. That is definitely the role I know very little about, and I think it would be kind of fun if I could play at least one.
Ooh, okay, I like that. Chat, make sure to let Bridget know what support, what speedster she should learn in 2024.
Oh, God.
That's good. Let's leave it up to chat. It's absolutely going to be Absol, for sure. we'll see, we'll see. Deuce Next, any Pokemon Unite resolutions you want to make for the new year?
So, casting-wise, obviously, you know, I've got my eyes on continuing casting UCS Season 3. That would be sick. That's a goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as incredibly fortunate as I have been on every NAEU broadcast and major broadcast in English since UCS has been a thing. I don't want to let that streak die in February or anytime past that. So that's certainly goal number one, is to make sure that I keep elevating my game, elevating the game, so I keep being brought back. Because, of course, everybody knows that's a huge passion of mine. So,
cool.
That said, in the game specifically, I for Season 13, because 13 is my favorite number, I wanted to get the sticker, but ever since that, I've never not gotten a sticker. I've just kind of been gaming and, like, you know, grouping up with folks and having a good time. So let's see if I can keep the sticker run going through 2024. I think that's a pretty good, fun playing goal. And because of that, that means I can't lock in Sableye every time, because nobody lets you, as it turns out. So it'd be good to flex out into other supports. I'd like to finish up my gold badge on Hoopa and get back to playing Eldegoss, and I definitely want to learn the Umbreon support hybrid, which is kind of sick.
Very fun.
So I want to get that in there. And lastly, I do want a badge on Sableye, because it is single-handedly the most fun I've had in Pokemon Unite.
It is so fun.
In the last like month was just when I decided to lock that in. And it's the best Doopsnax clip generator I've ever played in my life. For some reason, I am so zen with that Unite move. It's just a game changer. So that's been a ton of fun playing with a lot of high level players, and me hitting one of those, like, did you just catch three? Mm-hmm. And then it's just them doing whatever they do, right? Press the buttons well. They're like, man, that was sick, right? Like, keep doing that. I'm like, okay, man. So that's been a lot of fun, and that's where I'll leave my list.
Okay.
More celery in 2024, no doubt. I'm starting a celery farm, baby. Let's get it.
Wait,
that's not true. I'll just buy celery.
Okay.
Celery. Yeah.
I was like, if you bring homegrown celery to NAIC, I'd have to ask them. Okay. Resolutions for me, content wise, I really want to try expanding into some new content that you haven't seen from me before. I've been thinking a lot about TikTok and Unite TikTok. So you might see some Zoinks TikToks coming in the near future, potentially some more content. And you might even see some Twitch streams from me that aren't on the Unite Mike's channel. So. Potentially ideas for the new year. I'm hoping to get some of that done. And then in game, I want to get my first gold badge. Is that a shame to say? I just adore variety so much that plus I only learned what those like cards do that increase your points to get badges quicker, like midway through last competitive season. I think it was like at one of the
I know this
finals,
is embarrassing,
so.
But same. It was Spraggles at NAIC or whatever. That was like, dude, how many, like, why aren't you using cards? I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And I had like hundreds
neither
of
us
and he's
do.
Like, yeah, you can just queue all those up. So I literally have like 2 years worth of bonus cards running right now.
Awesome.
And I was like, oh, I guess I should have just been doing this since the beginning. So Zoinks, we both have gold badges, we just didn't know.
We're rolling in coins now. It's crazy. It's a brand new world, everybody. Don't tune into our channel for tips on how to play the game best. There are other channels better suited for that. We both went to the Church of Spraggles to learn that one. So those are gonna be my two goals. I want to get my first gold badge on a Pokemon. I've yet to decide which one. Maybe the amount I've been playing Goodra lately, it might be Goodra. Pokemon is unbelievably fun. Just like full tank Goodra, you muscle band to get those little sticky bombs with the ranged attack a little bit more. Gosh, it's so fun. Been really liking that Pokemon quite a bit. But yeah, that might be the end of our resolutions. Bridget, you had a few suggestions of speedsters from chat. Green Cat, Talon, Psycho Cut, Absol. Anyone that really latched on for you?
Green Cat could be Leafeon or Meowscarada.
Ooh, calling Leafeon a cat is wild.
How is it not a cat?
It's a dog. Okay, we're going to talk about this later. Please.
Hold on. This might be Bridget's last episode. Yeah. Excuse me? It evolves from Eevee, which is clearly a dog. What?
A dog?
You think Eevee's a cat?
It looks more like a cat than a dog.
Okay, okay. Fandom.com says that Eevee are a mix of rabbit, cat, and fox. So... wow, that really opens it up. But to be fair to Bridget here, dog is not mentioned in that lineup.
I'm off the podcast then.
But later, I do feel like fox.
Goodbye, cruel world.
Fox is black is correct in chat. Fox is absolutely the inspiration for all of the Pokemon, whether it be evolutions or just Eevee. And a fox is clearly a canine. So I think we're my actually is coming out here a little bit, but I am going to stick to my gut here and say that Leafeon, albeit a weird-looking one, is more dog than cat. But anyway, continue. Leafeon or Meowscarada, which one you feeling, Bridget?
I was going to use it as an angle for Leafeon, and now I'm doubling down. Okay. So, yeah.
There you go. It is actually green cat. It is actually green cat, and okay. Oh, no, I'm actually by Amira saying I'm actually Foxes or Vulpine. I don't even know what Vulpine is, Amira. Okay. Well, fair enough. If you're watching this on YouTube, please comment below. Is Leafeon a cat or a dog? That is your call to action if you made it all the way to the end of the episode. Thank you so much for doing so. If you want to follow more Unite Mics content, of course, you're already here, youtube.com/UniteMics. We record this episode live every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/UniteMics. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter, or the website formerly known as Twitter, on X. So go check us out there as well. Bridget, any plugs or anything like that? And then, of course, let people know where they can follow you on the socials.
I stream on Twitch. I will be streaming on Twitch more now that I'm back and getting settled. Just my name, Bridget with a J. I like to tweet. Also, Bridget with a J, but I have to have an underscore at the end. Unlucky.
Cool. Criminal.
Yeah, honestly, that's a big Dupes Next problem. We might need to work that out later.
We need to find whoever Bridget non underscore is. And
I don't even use the account.
Maybe
I can buy it.
When you get that sorted, this Unite Mics will throw all of their internet weight behind that endeavor.
Yeah, you gotcha.
Clean that up. Got to clean that up.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Shout out to Dextrodome. Yes, we do need the t-shirt plug. And honestly, that's Bridget's largest responsibility now that she's on the podcast, is obviously show up every Tuesday and help us plug this t-shirt for the next month. and actually, big shouts to Bridget, the first person to purchase one. Facts.
Well,
let's go. I was pretty quick.
So go back to the information screen for me, Zoinks, if you don't mind. Of course, $30 each. That's where you can send the payment. The proceeds go to our event on January 27th. We'll be taking pre-orders all the way through the end of that event. And here you see that very important line. The more shirts we order, the less they cost to produce, the more money in the prize pool. And that is also an indication as to why the price point is $30. We'd have loved for it to be less. It's just not feasible without cutting out this amazing art and the colors included in it. And that's the only way I could insulate myself from losing an S ton of money if we only sold a couple. So there you go. That's where that price point was derived from. But at least the more we sell, the money isn't like sheer profit. It's going into our tournament to bolster that prize pool for the teams that show up to that. I will ship anywhere in the world. I'll take the L on the shipping costs if you live outside of North America. I'm not too concerned about that. But yeah, that's the big deal. Show them the sicko art by Cloudbuster. Bang, super sick. Bridget, now that you're on Overdunk, you need to let me know of a Pokemon you see at emote front, because we have like so many spaces to fill.
Oh, that's
I'm gonna
true.
Get Ben to pitch one as well. And then Cloudbuster is looking to help us with those as we move forward. So yeah. Bang, that's the t-shirt plug. That's the snacks rant at Dupe Snacks and everything, but follow at Unite Mics because that's what's important. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to double down on the t-shirts. Of course, the Hondo Burger shirt. This is our first piece of merch, but it's obviously one that we really care about because it looks so cool and we really like it. There's a lot of Easter eggs and fun stuff in it, of course. But just remember, obviously we're not taking any cash from it. I did have a couple of questions about that. If you ever want to reach out about questions about the shirt or anything Unite Mics related, you can message Dupesnex or I on X. You just give us a DM. We'll be totally available to answer those at any point. So please, they seriously help the tournament prize pool so flipping much, which already has $150 starting pot. But we'll be promoting that more over on the Twitter and all those social medias because registration link is technically live right now, but we'll publicize that probably tomorrow. So go check out all those things. But at the very end of the day, make sure that you all believe that Eevee is a dog. We'll see you all next time on the Overdone Podcast when we come back next week. See you then.